Hope you have a Bible. If not, we have some on the back table. You're welcome to follow along with us. We're in the 23rd Psalm. If you'd make your way over there. The last few weeks we've been talking about following Christ. And we got to following Christ, the Good Shepherd. He told us in John's Gospel chapter 10, we were there last week and I think the week before, the Lord said, I am the Good Shepherd. And we know he is the Good Shepherd. He said the Good Shepherd knows his sheep. He knows his sheep and he calls them by name. And he said the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And that's exactly what the Lord did for us. And that brought us over to the 23rd Psalm, where we've been reading about the Lord our Shepherd, where we're compared to sheep, the flock, the sheep of his pasture, and the Lord being our shepherd. And while perhaps the idea of being sheep might not seem the most flattering term, I think it's an apt term. And let's remember, the Lord himself is compared to a lamb. You know, he's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So don't take offense at being considered one of the Lord's sheep. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, I shall not lack. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wow, these six verses are themselves green pastures and still waters, because you read them and you find yourself being refreshed just reading these verses. I know I do. There's the promise here of so much more than what we deserve. The Lord is our shepherd. There's the divine provision. There's the green pastures and the still waters. Not just any pasture, but the Lord brings us to green pasture. Not just desert lands where you have to hunt through the scrub to find something, but he brings us to green pastures. He brings us to the still waters. These are the brooks of water that bubble up from deep in the earth, that produce that pure, clean, cool water that just refreshes and gives life. All of this, all that is good and pure and clean and wholesome, that's what the Lord provides. We shall not lack. These are waters of refreshing. And look, the picture here, the Lord our shepherd, the green grass, the brooks of water. What a beautiful picture that paints. You can just, in your mind's eye, you can see a green pasture. You can see sheep. They're just calm and serene, and they're just grazing in this green grass. They are content. They feel safe and secure because the shepherd's right there with them. What a beautiful picture it actually is. They know they have a vigilant shepherd standing watch over them, one who is not asleep and is not absent. No wonder these sheep are so calm and serene, right? Amen. We have the promise here of divine guidance. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He's always going to lead us into righteousness. He's always going to lead us away from worldliness. Amen. Always he's going to lead us away from compromise with the world. Always. God's leading will never be into sin, into worldliness, or into compromise, but always out of it. Because he only leads He only leads us in the way that he himself walks, and that's always a righteous path. Amen. Never a path of compromise with the world. Always, always in conflict with the world. There is a conflict that will not stop, not in this life. And that's the conflict of the righteous with the ungodly world. All of this for his name's sake, for his glory, not, of course, not for our glory, but his. And you know, all of this undeserved blessing because of verse 1, because the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The great question is he? Is he your shepherd? Can you say, the Lord is my shepherd? Can you say, the Lord is my shepherd? That he is my Lord, my master. He is my shepherd. I am his sheep. Can you actually say that? Honestly say that? Because you know, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So if you're not following the Lord, if you're not listening to his voice, and his voice is this Bible, that's his voice, his living word to us. And if you're not listening to his voice, if you're not following his voice, then you can't say with confidence, the Lord is my shepherd. And then, if you can't say that, how can you say the rest? I shall not lack, I shall not want. How can you say that? If you can't say that the Lord is my shepherd, because if he's not your shepherd, you will lack. You already lack. Amen. You lack peace. You lack divine guidance. You lack the knowledge that you're right with God. Amen. You lack the ability to graze in green pastures without fear, without worry. But I'll tell you, King David, you know, we talk about making bold confessions, and I have to admit that the prosperity crowd got me so upset with some of the crazy things they were confessing and claiming and so forth, that it turned my stomach. But we must not neglect the fact that there are bold confessions of faith that you and I should make. And if the Lord is your shepherd, then you can say with the same confidence King David said, I shall not lack. Do you know how bold a statement that is? How powerful a confession that is? I shall not lack. Not today, not tomorrow, I shall not. Not next week, next month, next year. I shall not lack, not ever. Amen. What would you think of somebody who stood up and said, I will never lack? You'd say, what? That's presumptuous, don't you think? Well, it's not presumptuous if you're just saying what the Bible says. Amen. That's right. Here's what King David said under divine inspiration, the Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, that's the whole idea. Therefore, we have a good shepherd, one who watches over his sheep, one who is concerned for their nurture, their welfare. And if you can say with confidence, the Lord is my shepherd, can you say it with confidence? The Lord is my shepherd. Lord, you are my shepherd. Can you say it? Do you believe it? Then you can also say, I shall not lack. Look, there's a lot of reasons why you can worry in this world. You can worry yourself over everything, over all kinds of things, overthink. You know, smart people worry even more. They do. They worry more. You, the more you know, the more you realize there is to worry about. What bold courage it is, what faith it takes to say with confidence, I will not lack. I will not lack. And you, as the Lord's sheep, you're one of his? Does he know your name? Do you follow him? then you can say with the same courage, the same confidence, I will not lack. Yeah, but the economy's bad. I will not lack. Yeah, but you know, you still have to finish school and you've got all, where are you going to get the money? I will not lack. I will not lack. But you know, you're facing this monumental problem. I will not lack. And I love the fact that David left that by divine inspiration, an unlimited promise. It doesn't just say, I will not lack groceries. That would limit it. Doesn't say, I will never lack nice shoes. That limits it. But it's unlimited in its application. I will not lack. We will not lack. Psalms 34 says the young lions may lack and suffer hunger, but those that seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. The young lions may lack. You know who the young lions are? Those are the young, strong, virile, in the prime of their youth. That's the really strong ones. They run really fast, really long, really powerful. He said they may lack. There's times they'll go hungry. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Amen. You know, that's bold to say things like that. Well, you know what I want to encourage us to do? Be bold and not be timid. Let's be bold. Let's do more than just read. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Let's do more than just read it. Let's believe it. Let's make it our personal declaration. I will not lack. You know what you're doing? You're confessing your confidence in your shepherd to provide for you. You're confessing your confidence in your shepherd to lead you, guide you, direct you, to bring you through whatever it is you're going through. Don't look at what is. Look at what he promises. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in what is. We see what is all around us, all the symptoms, signs, things to worry about. Let's not get wrapped up in that. Amen. Let's look at what he promises. Amen. I shall not lack. Let's just say what the Bible says. Don't be timid. It's not presumptuous to say what the Lord says. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. The Lord will provide. He will always provide. He will not sometimes provide. He is faithful. He's the good shepherd. Amen. He's the good shepherd. He does not neglect his sheep. The Bible tells us the good shepherd knows his sheep. He calls them by name. He knows each and every one of them. He gave his life for the sheep. And I think we talked last week about the fact that the good shepherd will even go after the one who has strayed off, leaving the 99 to seek out the one. Not that he abandons the 99. He will never abandon any. The emphasis is on the fact that each and every one is important. There is no one that is unimportant to the Lord. No one. There's people that may aggravate you. Who knows? They may aggravate the Lord, as far as I know. But he loves them still. I mean, your kids aggravate you, right? You aggravate each other. I aggravate myself sometimes. But every single one of the Lord's sheep is important. Every single one. And here's the message in that. You matter. You matter to the Lord Jesus Christ. You matter to your shepherd. You matter. You might think you don't. You might be tempted to think, you know what? What good am I? What do I matter? You matter to your master. Thank you. You matter to your shepherd. You matter to your Lord. And you matter to us. Amen. Thank you, Lord. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He'll never ignore our prayers, our cries, our tears, our calls. He will answer. He will be found of those who seek him. So let's look at how bold this next verse is. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And we're talking about being bold. How bold is this? I will not be afraid. We've already made this bold statement, I hope you have. I will not lack. The Lord's my shepherd. I will not lack. How about this one? I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. That's bold. I like the shift that takes place here. I don't know if you notice it, but there's two things change in verse 4. One of the things that changes is, you'll see it as soon as I point it out to you, but it shifts. You know the difference in persons when you write first person, second person, third person? Well, first person is I. Second person is you. Third person is he, she, they. Well, there's a shift in the way the psalmist here, by divine inspiration, is talking about the Lord. You notice in the first verses, he says, verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me. And, you know, it's speaking of the Lord as he. Everything changes in verse 4. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. There's a shift. It becomes as personal as verse 1, 2, and 3 was, becomes even more personal in verse 4. I know that you are with me. You, Lord, are with me. So he's speaking to God himself. First he's speaking of God. Now he's speaking to God. Amen. Thou art with me. You, he goes on, you prepare a table. You anoint my head with oil. He goes on. So he don't just speak of God here. He's speaking to God. Very personal. Very intimate. And don't think that this is some kind of cocky self-confidence. It's the opposite of that. It's humble faith. It's absolute faith in his shepherd. You are with me. You are with me. But here's also another change. There's a change in the whole scenery here. Because, you know, in verse 2, we're in the green pastures. We're beside the nice brooks of clear water. But now, we're in the middle of the valley of the shadow of death. So, it went from peaceful pastures to a different picture altogether. The very valley of the shadow of death, which, I don't know, I think I like the green pastures better. Some versions translate this a little bit different. One version translates it, even when I walk through a valley of deep darkness. Another translates it, even when I walk through the dark valley of death. And yet another says, I may walk through valleys as dark as death. Well, while we may prefer the green pastures, I think we do, but we all know that life isn't always like that.
No way. Right.
And that sometimes life takes us places we didn't particularly want to go. Sometimes we wind up in these dark valleys, the dark valleys of life, the trial, the trouble, the difficulty, the loss, the grief. Not all of our experiences, unfortunately, are green grass and still waters. But here's the promise. If you do go through those valleys, he doesn't say you won't go through them. But he does say you won't go through them alone. Because he says in verse 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the very valley of the shadow of death. It's just a picture that's fraught with danger. You know, dark shadows. For a sheep, that's a rather frightening picture. Having to go through a dark valley because danger could lurk in the shadows. Wolves, bears, lions, thieves, robbers. sometimes life does bring us into places that we find difficult. But even there, let's know that we're not alone. I'm not afraid, for thou art with me. Thou art with me, even in the difficult places. Death itself, I know that sometimes people are frightened by the prospect of death. But you know, for the believer, it's uncharted territory as far as our personal experience is concerned, because, you know, we haven't been there before. But we all go there. Unless the Lord comes in our lifetime, we're going to make that journey. But it shouldn't be a frightening journey for us. Even if we walk into that very valley of the shadow of death itself, the Lord's with us every step of the way. I remember my mother, just before she died, she said, "I'm ready." And she said, "And I'm not afraid." She had a great peace in her heart. I'm not afraid. I'm ready. But, you know, you might read a passage like verse 4 and ask yourself, why would one of the Lord's sheep be walking through this valley to begin with? The valley of the shadow of death. Well, obviously the shepherd led them there. They're following the shepherd. This isn't a wayward sheep that he has to go rescue. Remember, they followed the Lord when he got on a boat and took them out into a sea where a storm came. Amen. They were following the Lord. The storms came. Yeah. Following the Lord doesn't exempt us from trial. It just assures us that the Lord's with us through the trial. He'll see us through the storms and through the difficulties. So, why were they there? The Lord led them there. Well, why would the good shepherd lead his sheep, his own sheep, into this place, into this dark valley, this difficulty, this trial, this trouble? I mean, maybe we've asked ourselves that. Why, Lord, why would you, why am I here? Why am I going through this? Why is this happening in my life? Well, there's one reason only why the Lord would lead them to this place, and that's to get them to a better place. Amen. He was bringing them to a better place. And sometimes to get to the better place, we have to go through the hard place. We have to go through the difficult place. The shepherd knows what he's doing.
Yes, he does.
Let's remember, a good shepherd knows what he's doing. You know, even in the natural, even in the world, a shepherd who has his sheep might know that there is great green grass and a great spring of water that will take care of them for a long time. But to get there, I've got to bring them through the desert. You know, Israel went through the wilderness to get to the promised land. And that's where we find ourselves sometimes, right? Going through the wilderness on our way to the land of promise. But the idea is you have a shepherd with you every step of the way, so that we can say, as David, "I will fear no evil." Verse 4, look at it again. "Yea, yes, even though I walk through the very valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Because you're so strong?
No.
Because you're so self-sufficient, so independent, so capable? You know karate? You have a gun? "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." My shepherd's with me. He's with me. You know, all we have to do is trust the Lord. All we have to do is trust him. "I will not be afraid." That's another bold statement.
Amen.
Yeah. Yep. "I will not be afraid." He says, "I will fear no evil. Evil here is a kind of a broad word. It means everything from danger to affliction to trouble, problems, adversity, peril, distress, grief, harm. Just a big word. It means all kinds of terrible things. But here's his bold statement. I will not be afraid, because the Lord is my shepherd. It goes back to verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not be afraid. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not lack. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not be afraid. Whatever it is you're going through, whatever the trial, the difficulty, whatever problem you're facing, adversity, pain, circumstance, symptoms, just keep in mind the shepherd's with you. The great shepherd of your soul is with you. And there, his sheep should not be afraid. His sheep should not be afraid. The remedy for fear is faith in your shepherd. That's the remedy, faith in your shepherd. You're following the Lord. You're listening to his voice. You're walking in his, in the way he would have you to walk. Then the remedy for fear, you just keep following the shepherd. He's going to bring you through. Doesn't say you won't go into the valley of the shadow, but he'll bring you through. Doesn't say you won't have to pass that way, but he does say you won't go through it alone. So things happen in every life. You know that. I know that. But what a bold statement here. I will not be afraid. Don't look to your own resources or strength or ability. Quit trying to figure everything out in your own mind. Amen. Rest in the knowledge that the Good Shepherd is with you. And he knows. He knows his sheep. So he knows every single one of them. He knows their need, their lack, their problems. Amen. He knows their name, right?
That's right.
He says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thy rod and thy staff. Well, the rod and the staff is the same thing, really. It's just a double emphasis, because it's an emphasis on the fact that our shepherd is capable of watching over us, taking care of us. You know, the staff, the shepherd's staff, served numerous purposes. It wasn't just a walking stick, but it was a popping stick. I mean, it could get the sheep moving, or it could keep the predators away. The nook could reach down and grab a lamb out of a crevice if it fell down or if it was in a hole. It served multiple purposes. And don't think it would have been the shepherd's only weapon. Even the young shepherd boy named David carried a sling and was quite capable in its use. Could kill a lion, could kill a bear. I don't know if you ever watch the news, and you've maybe have even seen some of these young Palestinian young men with their slings as they hurl stones at the Israeli soldiers. Israeli soldiers with all of their gear, and these young boys with their slings. You know, that sling is just like the sling David would have used. Those slings that go round and round, and they can hurl a stone at over 100 miles an hour. And I mean a big stone. If it hits you, it's going to break bones. It's going to crush what it hits. And if it hits you in the head, it's probably going to kill you. Because that's how powerful they throw those rocks. And they can throw them far. They'll go quite a distance. I would only make this point. Our shepherd is quite capable of looking after his sheep.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
It doesn't matter if the enemies that come after us are human or demon.
Right.
Our shepherd is prepared.
Amen.
And capable of taking care of his sheep.
Thank you,
amen?
Amen.
His rod and his staff. So even in the dark valleys of life, let's trust the shepherd. I will not be afraid. That's the confession. I will not fear. And notice verse 5. He goes on from here. He says, verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. There is a table that the Lord prepares for you and for me. And this is an interesting word, because table here means feast. It's a feast. But I would remind you that everything goes back, it presupposes that the Lord is your shepherd. Everything goes back to verse 1. It really does. The Lord prepares a banqueting table. The Lord, our shepherd. Verse 5 actually speaks of three things the Lord prepares for us. There's a prepared table, that is a banquet, a feast. All that is good, all that is good, the Lord prepares. Second, a head, our head anointed with oil. And third, an overflowing cup. All that in verse 5. And to top it all off, this banquet that the Lord prepares is set right in the midst of conflict. In the presence of mine enemies, he says. Yes, you have enemies. We have enemies. There is the enemy of our soul. The Lord himself had enemies. He was perfect and he had enemies. The apostles had enemies. You are a Christian, you're going to have enemies. You live for the Lord, you will have enemies. You don't have to go out and make enemies. In fact, I suggest you do not. Just live the Christian life. Just live the gospel message. Let your light shine. There will be people who don't like you. They'll be inspired by another spirit, you know. But old Spurgeon used to say, every godly man has his enemies. How could you not have enemies? If you are the friend of God, you're the enemy of the world. And if you're a friend of the world, then God's your enemy. So, but here's the interesting thing he points out, that even when surrounded by enemies, the enemies of our soul, and you know what? You're surrounded. Even when surrounded by enemies, we don't have to be terrified, anxious, fretful, worried. He says, you prepare a table, a prepared table. Now, you know the picture here, when there's a banqueting table, you know what you do? You sit down. You relax. You enjoy. You enjoy the company, the fellowship, the food. In the midst of conflict, surrounded by enemies, thou preparest a table. In the presence of mine enemies. Now, this isn't like any conflict or any war that you've ever heard of or maybe experienced. You know, a soldier that's at war, I want you to think about this. He's in a foxhole. Bullets are flying around his head. He's not thinking about setting a table. He's not even thinking about eating, because artillery shells are exploding and bullets are whizzing by and people are dying and people are yelling and people are bleeding. And he's thinking only about surviving the next 5 minutes or 10 minutes. So he's too distraught to eat. His stomach's in knots. How are you going to eat with all of this going on? And if he did get to eat, it would not be pleasant and enjoyable. He's not relaxed. He's not enjoying the company and the food. He's eating K rations or MREs or beans out of a tin can. What a different picture this is. Verse 5, this is a banquet. Thou preparest a table, literally a feast. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. A prepared table. Painstakingly done. Food laid out. A major meal here. For you to relax. For you to enjoy. And here's the picture, of course. That even in the midst of our troubles, trials, difficulties, conflicts, war. War may be raging all around us. You know, the Lord still blesses you with the ability to enjoy. Enjoy his bounty, his blessing, his benefits, his peace. Even with battle raging, the Lord prepares a table. And he does it right in front of those who don't like us and they can't do anything about it. God's going to bless us and take care of us. The devil can't stop him from doing that. The demons can't stop him. It's a banquet. God will bless his sheep. He will provide for his sheep. Our enemies can't stop it from happening. So learn how to enjoy God's blessings.
Amen.
You can't say, well, you know, when the trials are over, then I'm going to be able to just enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Well, your trials ain't over till you die. We get these little times to go graze in the green pastures. Praise God for that. Get our fill.
Amen.
But it seems like we tend to live more in the valley of the shadow. Oh, that's a bad confession. Yeah. Let's just remember the Lord blesses his sheep. He's with us no matter what we're going through. Enjoy his provision. In the midst of battle, enjoy his provision. Thou anointest my head with oil, he said. And that oil served many purposes in biblical times. You know that. They ate it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not too many things better than olive oil, really.
Yeah.
Dip your bread in it. Pour it over your food. Pour it on your ice cream. No, I don't do that either. Even my dad didn't do that. Olive oil was on everything else, but not the ice cream. But they use it as anointment. Remember the account of the... come on. Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan who came upon the Jewish man who had been badly wounded. And he bound up his wounds, and the Bible says he poured in oil and wine. Because oil was medicinal. The shepherd would rub it on the sheep. If the sheep, you know, they stick their heads and scrape up their legs and things, and they'd rub oil on them. It had medicinal purposes. And the Lord anoints us. He's our healer. He's our deliverer. We can trust in him. We can call upon the Lord, our healer, the great physician. Also, it was used as a way of celebrating. To anoint somebody's head with oil was like an extravagance, a luxury. They did it for festive occasions. So the Lord blesses us even with in ways that he doesn't have to.
You're right.
But he does.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, there was the account when the Lord went into the Pharisee's house over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. The Pharisee invited the Lord to come eat there. And all they could do was look for things to criticize. And when a woman, the Bible says, who was a sinner, came in, she came in and took an alabaster box of oil, expensive perfume, because oil also means that, fragrant oil. She broke the box and she anointed the Lord with... She bathed his feet in her tears and anointed his feet. And when he was criticized, yes, the Lord was criticized. He was criticized by the Pharisees there. The Lord said, you know, he told them about who loves the most, the one who is forgiven the most, remember? But he said, this woman, when I came to your house, you didn't provide water for my feet. You didn't anoint my head with oil. You know, anointing the head was also something of respect. It was done to honored guests. You anoint their head. He said, you didn't do that. This woman's bathed my feet in her tears and has anointed my feet with oil. She's loved much. She's been forgiven much. But the anointing with oil had to do with that fragrant anointing. And also the priests were anointed with oil. The king was anointed with oil. In fact, that anointing, if they didn't get anointed, they were not legitimate. You're an illegitimate king that didn't get anointed. You're an illegitimate priest that didn't get anointed. And when it speaks here of the anointing of oil, you anoint my head with oil, I believe it goes on to the matter of the Holy Spirit's anointing upon us and the fact that we are legitimately God's sheep and legitimately God's children. You anoint my head with oil. And look, If you can believe it, then you can also say like David in verse 5, my cup runneth over.
Amen.
My cup runs over. God gives me not just barely enough, but more than enough.
Amen.
My cup runs over. There's an abundance even of provision. You know what? You got a picture here of a cup that's full and then overflowing. It's a picture of fullness that God just blesses his children with more than they can really ask for, more than you need, more than you can ask for, so that there's enough for your need and some to share. Always enough. My cup runneth over. My cup is full. And you know, I believe every child of God can say, my cup runs over. Even if you find yourself in a difficult time right now, even if you've got a lot going on in your life, you can say, my cup runs over. The very fact that you're his sheep, that he's your shepherd, means you can say, my cup runs over. I'm blessed with more than I deserve. Then verse 6, he says, maybe goodness, hopefully goodness, and surely, surely, absolutely, positively, without a doubt, goodness and mercy shall follow me up close, occasionally. Once in a while, all the days of my life, every day, every night, every step, every minute. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, forever. The goodness and mercy of the Lord. I like what one old preacher said. He said, those are your twin guardian angels, grace and mercy, and they never leave your side. They follow you step for step. Grace and mercy. God's goodness and mercy shall follow me every day, all day. And they don't lag way behind like some of these other lollygaggers, you know, lollygaggers. They're up close and personal. You have a very real, even though it may be invisible, a very real entourage.
Amen.
God's goodness and mercy
follows
you every day. Goodness that supplies all of our needs.
All
mercy that blots out all of our sins.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord.
I need those two on my heels all the time.
Amen.
The goodness and the mercy every step. They're our constant companions according to the scripture. And you know, we've become up inseparable, me and those two. His mercies are new every day. They never fail. Praise God. And they never will as long as you live. Praise God. He says, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will not lack. I will not be afraid.
Amen.
I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Praise you, Lord.
I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Yeah.
You know, the idea of dwelling in the house of the Lord, while the house of the Lord did depict the great temple, or the great tabernacle before that, the house of the Lord that they just long to get into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. They just want to be in the house of the Lord, the presence of the Lord. I feel that way about coming to church. I don't feel like it's a chore. I hope you don't. I feel like it's a privilege and a joy. And the idea of being able to dwell in the house of the Lord, the presence of the Lord forever, with the saints of God, with the apostles, with our loved ones who've gone on before, You know, I know that there's a place for me in my Father's house. The Lord said, I go. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you to myself. That's what the Lord said, John 14. I go, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'll prepare a place. There's a place for you in our Father's house. There's a room for you at His table. In fact, it's reserved. Your name is right there. That little placard is right there. It's got your name on it. Nobody can take your place. One day you'll be sitting there and enjoying the fellowship of the saints of God forever. Oh, you ever been tired just traveling? I can remember years ago when Diane and I used to drive places. We'd go far. We'd be so wore out. We'd be looking for a place to stop, and nobody had room because we didn't make reservations, you know. That's what happens when you fly by the seat of your pants. Isn't it good to know that at the end of this long, weary journey, oh traveler, there's a place for you. There's a place for you in your Father's house. The table is set. The room is ready. The Lord has gone and prepared a place for you. And they're watching for you at heaven's gate. We'll be there soon. Whether we fly or whether we die, it won't be long. Oh, traveler, weary traveler, there is a place for you in your Father's house. There is a room reserved. There is a seat at the table in your Father's house. All of this because you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. Can you say it? Can you say it with confidence? Do you believe it? Is He your Lord, your Master, your Savior, your shepherd? Then you can confess it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, we thank You that You are our shepherd, that we are Your sheep. We thank You for the privilege of calling You shepherd and Lord and Master and Savior. Lord, we thank You for these promises and these privileges. Lord, keep Your people, each and every one. Keep us close. Keep us closer to Your side than we've ever been before. Lord, we confess how much we need You, Lord. We need You, Lord. Bless us, use us for Your glory. All this we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen,
amen. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. Let's stand.